You're listening to the ESP, the European Skeptics Podcast, an independent weekly show in support of European-level actions within the skeptical movement. The ESP is run by individuals representing different skeptical groups from across the continent. This is episode 152. I'm your host, Pontus Berkman, and joining me for the show are actually nobody at the moment. I hope that we can make contact with Andras in a little while, but at the moment he is in Italy. He's guiding his group of tourists there, and he has difficulties getting away, and especially difficulties finding a good place to record. So we agreed that I will try to do this on my own. This is going to be a sort of a summary of 2018 and a little bit of a peek into 2019. So just the highlights, and we will hear from Andras in a little while, I hope. Before we get into that, though, I want to promote a book that has its release date actually today as I am recording this. It is Natalie Graham's book that previously was only available in German. It's now the English translation is being published today, 29th of December, and it's available from Amazon.com. The book is called Homeopathy Reconsidered, What Really Helps Patients. It will be available for Amazon.de and from the UK Amazon site as well at a later date. But they, as I can see here, they do ship to Sweden from the US. So if you can't wait, then you can order it from there. It's available in paperback. I would like to see it in a Kindle version, actually, because I do most of my reading on my Kindle or ebook reader. So that's good. I think you should all read it. I've been waiting for a long time for having this book translated so I can read it. Natalie Graham is a wonderful person and very, very exciting. If you don't know, she is the homeopath who realized when being challenged by a lot of skeptics, she tried to debunk the skeptics, and she did a lot of research, and she realized that the skeptics were right and she was wrong. So now she's leading the Informationsnetzwerk. I'm not trying to say that. The Information Network for Homeopathy in Germany, constantly trying to meet all the false claims out there about homeopathy. So by that, I strongly recommend it. What else did I want to mention before we start? Oh, yes. Actually, we shared some fake news by mistake on the ESP Facebook page. Or when I say we, I mean me. I did. And I think that's terrible. But it's also a lesson for us all. I want to say thank you to Luisa Marinho, who pointed out that the article I shared there was totally fake news. It's about a nun that is pregnant and says it must have been the Holy Ghost because she hasn't met anybody except, I think, the local baker who visits once a day. So it was just the kind of things that I'd like to laugh about as I point the finger and saying, ooh, the stupid people, blah, blah, blah. This case, I was the stupid one. I have not taken down the share on the Facebook page. I think it should stay there. I've put in the edit that it's fake news, but be there as a reminder that we can all fail. And before you share anything, please check out the source, as I am more likely to do in the future. I thought I always did that, but apparently not. Okay, good. I see now that maybe we can make contact with Andras. Let's give it a try and we'll see how it goes. Okay, so we're doing this test here to check in with Andras, who is in Amalfi, I believe, in Italy, working. I can hear some noises in the background. What are you up to, Andras?
Hi. Hi, Pontus.
Good of you to join us.
I think this is the most extreme check-in from me since the beginning of the show, that I'm actually sitting on a bench in Amalfi in Italy, and I just finished my latest interpretation of the St. Andrew's Basilica. So it happened only about 20 minutes ago. So what's even more extreme, that we have been planning to do this while I'm still here, but there is so much background noise, as you can hear. Now there is a little miniature Vespa passing me.
Oh my God, yeah. Yeah, we actually did try yesterday as well, but then the internet wasn't with us, so we could hardly hear each other. So,
yeah, you know, here in southern Italy, a hotel can still not provide you with proper internet.
No, I guess so. It's medieval internet. It's run by horse couriers and stuff instead of electronics. So good, but it's good to hear from you. While we have you on the line here, Andras, did you have a good Christmas?
Oh, yeah, I did. Thank you very much.
Was Santa nice to you?
Apart from getting a cold, yeah.
Oh, he gave you a cold. Santa gave you a cold. That wasn't very nice.
I don't know if it was from Santa, but I definitely caught a cold. And it wasn't a good experience. And starting a tour like that is also terrible. So imagine someone who has to explain stuff along the way, grab the microphone and say something, and immediately starts coughing, and that's not a pleasant experience for my group either.
Yeah.
I believe, but I'm getting better now. I enjoy the sunlight without the warm temperature. I really
what,
like
what temperature do they have in Amalfi at this time of year?
It's about 15 mm-hmm. degrees.
Good.
So quite reasonable, livable. You don't get really hot, but still you can enjoy the weather. And the scenery is beautiful.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is.
And how have you been?
I've been fine. Speaking of the weather, we actually had a white Christmas. The
snow. No way.
The snow came the day before Christmas Eve and disappeared on Christmas Day. So, but Christmas Eve is when we celebrate the most in Sweden. So on the actual Christmas Eve, when children get their presents and stuff, we...
So you're talking about the 24th of December,
24th
right?
of December. We had nice-looking scenery with snow. I hope no children is listening to this. This Santa is not real. I dressed up as Santa and I gave presents to all the my kids and their cousins and stuff, and it was great. We had a good time.
it must have been awesome. I mean, you look very good in that costume.
Better actually, yeah.
Better, yeah.
Better than
what?
No, better than normal, because you can't really see my face. That's good.
Okay.
Yeah. I also want to mention that I am now using my Christmas gift from myself to me, which is a microphone boom. So I don't have to have the microphone standing on my table as we're recording this. And there's also a rubbery sort of what do you call that? Hang up thing, so that any vibrations, hopefully, if I tap the table like this, hopefully it doesn't come through quite as much as normal. So it was a good Christmas.
Isn't that lovely?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's good. I mean, I've been using a mount for a long, long time, and it's mounted on a different wall, a wall in front of me. So when I'm home, I'm actually home. I can do that. But when I'm recording while traveling, obviously I have to go with whatever I can take with me.
Of course, that's
so.
That's right.
Yeah, right now I'm recording through my Apple earpods, AirPods. Sorry, so that's why you can all hear what's happening around me. And the other thing is that I had to make a compromise, because when I found a quiet place, there was no signal whatsoever, and now out where I have strong signal, I have all the
background. Yeah, and everything is coming through, yes.
Yeah, sorry about that. I would have loved to take part in all this retrospective kind of episode, looking through what happened in this year, because it was so much. I mean, what happened this year is amazing in the world of skepticism.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah, so, there's a lot of things happening. So... and we're looking forward to a new year as well. And we will have Jelena back. The next recording, we believe, we will be the three of us. hope we can get it going. And we will be back on a more sort of regular schedule.
I really hope so.
Yeah.
I'm trying my best to do that. Yeah, I'll leave you to it.
Yep.
And thank you very much for doing it. And I hope our listeners will enjoy whatever we've compiled and you will interpret to them.
Okay. Thank you, Andras.
Take care.
Thank you.
Take care.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
And have a wonderful time for New Year's Eve.
Yeah, you too.
Any plans? Any plans? Any special plans?
Just with some friends. Nothing special, no. But it'll be nice.
All right. Okay.
All right.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you soon.
Cheers. Bye-bye. So, as you could hear that, Andras is always willing to do this show, but in this case we just decided it was too noisy. We can't have Vespas going on in the background while we're recording. It'll be too painful for you. So instead, the painful experience will be to just listen to me for the rest of the show. I hope you don't mind too much. Totally different structure than normal. I want to just talk about what happened in 2018 and a little bit of what we can look forward to in 2019. In 2018, first of all, there's always some new woo that gets promoted every year. You think you've seen it all, and I just want to mention two of them. And for me, the prize this year was Raw Water. I thought that was really, really ridiculous. Don't drink your tap water. Order some dirty water that somebody took out of a stream somewhere up in the mountain, because that seems more natural. Pay like $30 a gallon for some dirty water, and you will be much better off. No, you will not be much better off. You will be poorer, and you will drink water with potentially parasites and other things in it that you have no clue about, and the seller doesn't have any clue about, because they don't check it. It's just raw water. Another stupid woo that came out in 2018 was apitherapy. If you don't know what that is, I'm very happy for you, but because that's not something you should do. Apitherapy is marketed as some sort of acupuncture, but instead of poking with needles, you actually get stung by bees. And that's not something you should do, as one lady tragically found out in Spain, who died of this year. So please try not to invent things like that without making sure that it's safe and, well, in best cases, should also be beneficial, which I don't think bees things are. That was the most stupid thing I saw this year. But I'm sure you have other examples, and if listeners have, please send them in and we'll talk about them on the show. It's just interesting to look into what people can invent to either make money or to deceive themselves of doing something that is more natural, more good, more thing, and they don't have any science behind what they're doing. When it comes to skepticism, we saw in 2018 quite a few new initiatives that I want to mention. We have, for instance, what I already mentioned, Natalie Graham's Network for Homeopathy was launched in English earlier this year. That was very good, because all of the good work that Natalie and her colleagues are doing are now available to a broader audience. We saw our friend Massimo Polidoro, who launched his YouTube channel called Strane Storie, or Strange Stories. Most of those are in Italian, but he also have a few episodes in English, so go check that out. That's a good way of reaching out. Very, very, very high production value. I don't know how he does it, because he does it all on his own. But it's really, really professional, and it's entertaining, and it's not just for skeptics. It's for everybody who's interested in strange stories. We had in Czech Republic the Pro-Vax Challenge, which was a very good thing, going out and challenging people on vaccinating their children and themselves. We had, Hans Rosling, we talked a lot about in the past, sadly now deceased, a Swedish doctor and science communicator. His book Factfulness came out posthumously. co-authored by Ola Rosling, which is Hans Rosling's son, and Ola Rosling's wife, Anna Rosling Rönnlund. And that book, I think, has made a great impact. Bill Gates, for one, went out to say that this was the most important book he's ever read, things like that. So if you haven't read it, please read it. It's very, very good. Give it to people. It's a good introduction to how to think about facts in a positive way and in a critical thinking way. It's a great book. There's always good skeptical activism out there. Every year, for instance, a lot of skeptical groups are giving out awards to either people or organizations that done something good or something really bad or stupid, and highlight that. For instance, GWP in Germany and Austria always gives out their Goldenes Brett awards. And I want to mention one of those who got it this year was Krankenhaus Nord, which is a hospital in Vienna. And they paid 95,000 euros for a person to go around their hospital and erect an invisible energy wall. And he also apparently wrote the 5-page something for that. And that's very good. I think he got a lot of money's worth for his very little work there. And that's, of course, really, really stupid. We have other groups giving out similar awards, like Sisyphos in Czech Republic. They are giving out their Erratic Boulder Award. So the boulder is the symbol of the Sisyphos character constantly trying to get the boulder up to the top of the mountain, but it always comes down again. So they give out this. They had one individual who got it for a purposeless academic research on magic-based homeopathy. They had also a group of lobbyists who's trying to push TCM, or traditional Chinese medicine, into the Czech healthcare sector. So they got highlighted for doing a bad thing. Of course, in Sweden, we do have as well the Enlightener of the Year Award, which is a positive prize this year, or for 2017, but awarded this year. It went to Emma Franz, who is a researcher, journalist, blogger, and author of a book that translates into The Alarm Report, where she goes into fake news and how to spot it, etc. On the Woo side, we have an award. It's hard to translate, but one translation would be Bewilderer of the Year, even if I understand that bewilderer is not a word in English. You understand what it means, somebody who bewilders the public. This went to the company called Lifebutiken, or Life Shops, which is, they have more than 100 shops and a web store, and they're selling only what we call SCAM or CAM, complementary and alternative medicine, so-called medicine. They have a huge turnover and people are really going there thinking they're buying good stuff, and it's not. It's like colloidal silver and things like that. Then we have the Occam's Awards that was presented at QED. I will come back to QED, the conference, later on. This year, very, very deservedly, Michael Marsh got the prize for best skeptical activism. He's long overdue for a good prize. I don't know anybody who works so hard, along with, of course, the others in the Good Thinking Society. They have done an extreme difference when it comes to homeopathy and alternative medicine in the UK, and what NHS can fund or not fund. And now, just lately, it's about guidelines for charitable organizations that promote alternative things. Very, very well deserved. The bad prize, or the shameful prize, actually it's called the Rusty Racer Award, went to Andrew Wakefield, which is he is the doctor who for 20 years have promoted the bogus idea that vaccines can cause autism. And he's very much personally, I would say, responsible for the measles epidemic that we have in Europe at the moment, with, 60 or 70,000 people getting measles totally unnecessarily in Europe and also across the world. He has a very broad outreach, and he has toured in Australia, I know, and he's making a lot of he's creating a lot of harm all over the place. So he got the Rust Eraser Award. I don't think he cares too much, though. But it's good to remember that he's still out there promoting his very, very harmful ideas. The John Maddox Prize is a positive skeptical award, and that was awarded to Terry Hughes for exposing the extent of the coral reef damage caused by rising water temperatures. He got that jointly with Britt Hermes, who is the former naturopath who is now changed sides and spreading good and scientific news or scientific information about naturopathy, and has been sued in court for defamation or for libel. I'm not exactly sure, but she's fighting the good fight, and for her courage in promoting science despite attempted lawsuits, she got the John Maddox Prize as well. So that was very good. QED. I mentioned QED before. QED always is, for me, one of the big highlights of the year. This is the big conference in Manchester where a lot of skeptics, like 600 or 700 skeptics, gather around for a number of days. It's mostly weekend, but it actually starts a little bit before. I was there for 4 days. It was a fantastic experience, as always. The big attraction this year, I must say, was the SGU, or the Skeptics Guide to the Universe, who came over, all of them, together with George Schraub, and had a number of different activities. They had the Skeptical Extravaganza. They had a couple of recordings of their show. And Steve Novella, who is the ringleader of the SGU, had a very, very interesting talk as well in the big hall there. So it was them. It was not just them. We did our part as well, of course. We set up, Anders and myself, we set up a live link between QED and the Australian Skepticon, which is the Australian Skeptics National Convention, which happened to be at the same weekend, but of course in totally different time zones. So Anders and I, we ran around in the very early morning when people were queuing into the big opening of QED. We had a laptop and we had a Skype channel open to Richard Saunders, Aaron Segev, and other people who were down under, who, and they were just finishing their first day and having some pre-dinner drinks, etc. It was great fun to do that. What else happened at QED? Well, of course, we did our first live recording of the ESP, and Jelena unfortunately couldn't be there. But we had good reinforcement from Claire Klingenberg, who is the chair of the EXO, the European Council of Skeptical Organizations. She's been on the show as an extra host many times, and she was there. We also had Brian Ego, of course, Glasgow's skeptic extraordinaire. Very, very funny guy. Hello, Brian, if you're listening. We really enjoyed having you there. And we also had Jay Novella from the Skeptics Guide to the Universe sitting in the last minute. So we had a blast. I hope people who were there enjoyed it. It's available, of course. We recorded it, so it's available on episode number 143 if you want to listen in. So QED, always fantastic, good fun. And Skeptics Guide to the Universe, a lot of people, famous people in the skeptical world, always fun to meet them. But also, let's not forget, just meeting each other in the bar, in the corridor, or over a coffee or something, that is fantastic. I've made so many friends there, and it's really great always. So that's 2018. What else did we talk about on the show? For instance, we talked about, we already mentioned Good Thinking Society, NHS, homeopathy, no longer funded by NHS in London. That was one news that we had. There's almost no place now in the UK where the NHS is funding homeopathy. That's really good. We had some other news as well that were maybe on the light side, but very funny, I think. For instance, let's not forget the bus 666 that goes to hell in Poland. It's still there, I believe. It's very funny. It's just a place called Hell, H-E-L. And the bus going there just happened to have the number 666. So you can take the bus 666 to Hell. Of course, it's funny. And of course, a lot of religious people in Poland think it's an insult and they should change it, buddy buddy, but as far as I know, it's still there. Another fun piece of news that Jelena delivered so beautifully was the news about squirrels who could... Somehow it was squirrels preferred non-GMO ginger, and that's why non-GMO ginger will cure your cancer. That's just illustrates in one point how people twist logic just to invent things that are taken out of the air. We cannot talk about the news in 2018 without mentioning the measles epidemic again. As I said before, it's like 60 to 70,000 cases of measles in Europe. I think we're up at around 60 deaths as well, totally unnecessarily. And as I said, Andrew Wakefield has personally a responsibility for that happening. We'll continue to look at this. The worst country at the moment is Ukraine, which is not part of the EU, so it was off our radar a little bit. Only in Ukraine there's been over 45,000 cases in 2018. Let's hope it changes to next year. Another category of news that we talk a lot about on the show is, of course, religion, and especially we've talked a lot about the Catholic Church. For instance, there was an Irish priest called Pat Collins in February who called out for more exorcism. There are not enough exorcists in the world, so he called to the Vatican to train more exorcists, which is, of course, I can't believe that people are taking that seriously. Grown people really believing in ghosts. That's what it is. That's amazing to me. Of course, my interest in the Catholic Church led eventually to us creating a new segment altogether called Pontus Pokes the Pope. And the first time we had that was, I think, in June, where I talked about how Pope Francis said that God loves you even if you're gay. And that's so condescending, and he gets it so wrong all the time. Continuing on the Pontus Pokes the Pope segment, we went on to talk about how the Pope solves the Middle East crisis. And how does he do that? He goes to the beach together with some friends and they spend a whole weekend praying for the Christians only in the Middle East. What good can that do? He went to Ireland as well, Pope Francis did. And it's interesting to see that John Paul II was the previous pope who last visited Ireland. He was greeted by, I think, a million people. And when Pope Francis went there this year, it was like a tenth of that showed up. So that's good news. Even Ireland is starting to wake up to the fact that the Catholic Church isn't much to trust. And of course, they've been hit a lot by scandals, like the rest of the world, really, in the US and in other places, with pedophilia and misuse, a lot about sex for some reason. Speaking of sex, Pope Francis also tweeted that gay children should have therapy. I don't know, because they probably seduces all the priests, maybe? I have no idea. The Catholic Church this year were hit by a lot of cases where it was revealed how badly they have treated, or individual priests and bishops and high up in the organization really has both abused people and also covered it up a lot. So to counter that, Pope Francis did what he knows he does best. It's better to pray. But he has apparently been praying about this for a long time. It didn't help. So he called for everybody to join him for every day in October doing what they call the rosaries, where you go through the Hail Marys and stuff every day a number of times. It doesn't seem to have helped so far. He's had internal problems as well when the synod of bishops that was gathered in the Vatican in October didn't want to accept a non-tolerance policy against sexual abuse, because you never know, maybe it's justified sexual abuse sometimes. I don't know how they say, but he actually wanted to have that in the end paper, but it didn't work out. He went on to eat lasagna with the poor people in Rome. So that's a good thing, I guess. But then he concluded the dinner there by saying, we never know when the world will end. So I guess let's have some lasagna. Very interesting news is still developing to summarize the Catholic Church year. It's about Cardinal Pell. Cardinal George Pell, the Australian cardinal, who is ranked as the third most powerful person in the Vatican. Not in the Vatican, in the Holy See, as it's called, the whole organization. He was convicted in court for abusing two choir boys in the 90s, I believe. There is another trial coming up next year. I'm sure he's going to appeal the verdict, but it's interesting to see that even at the top, first of all, as we've all suspected, even at the top, these things are happening. But also, it's good news is that it's getting to the attention of the legal system, not just the church saying, oh, oopsie doopsie, we will take care of it ourselves. Those days may be, well, they're not gone, but hopefully they will be gone. So that's Pontus Pokes the Pope. We had a few really wrongs as well that I think we can mention. One fun one, well, stupid one really, was IKEA, who made a very unscientific test to show that if you bully plants verbally, they will not grow. Very, very silly. And they tried to do a good thing because they wanted to take a stand against bullying, but that's not the way to do it. Come on. Everybody should know that. The WHO decided this year to include traditional Chinese medicine in their documentation, which will be published next year, I believe, in 2019. That's bad news because that's giving legitimacy to something that is really unscientific. I don't know where they got that from. What else can we? We can mention as well the Swedish authorities who did spend a lot of money on something they called climate therapy, which is not doing anything about the climate. It's just a course in how to feel better about climate change. That's really stupid too. So they got the really wrong for that one. And let's not forget also the long list of fantastic interviews we had during 2018. We had Britt Hermes, Ovidio Cavaccio, Diana Barbosa, Pepijn van Erp. We had Amina Mansour, Malik Thome, Jay Novella, Darren McKee, Massimo Polidoro, Aaron Ra, and Julia Offer, just to mention a few. And we will keep up that next year as well. That's one thing that we really, really enjoy on the ESP, and that's interviewing skeptical activists all over the world, mostly around Europe, but sometimes further away. It's really great. So we will keep on doing that. So I don't want to make this too long. You can go back and listen to all the episodes once again if you want to. So I don't want to repeat everything here. Let's look into what we're going to do next year. Well, of course, the ESP is going to continue. As we mentioned with Andras, when we had Andras on just now, we will try to get Jelena and Andras and myself together for the next one. She is traveling at the moment as well as Andras, so it's been hard for us to get together. But next week, we will probably be the three of us. Looking forward to 2019, of course, although there will be no QED for the first time in many years, they decided to take a year off, which I sympathize with that, but I'm sad that I can't go to QED. We will go, of course, instead to the European Skeptics Congress, which will be in Ghent by the end of August, or 31st of August to 1st of September, Ghent in Belgium. So that will be fun. We will meet a lot of you there, I hope. On a more personal note, I want to make a real thank you again to Brian Ego and Claire Klingenberg, who we rely on a lot as our stand-in hosts when needed. Both of them have great events coming up on the personal level next year. Brian, as was revealed in the QED recording, is going to be a father. So good luck with that. We always need we could always use a little more ego in the skeptical world. So fantastic news there. And Claire has just invited me and a million other people, I believe, to her wedding, which will be in Prague in October. So we're looking forward. So good luck with that, Claire. And it's going to be great. I hope I can make it. I haven't made my plans yet, but if I can, I will make it. So I guess that's that for this week. It's been a bit of a different show, me blabbering on here. I hope you've enjoyed it. Otherwise, we will be back with a more regular segment next week. So for now, take care. Happy New Year's. And hope to hear from a lot of you going forward in the new year. And see you, hopefully, at the European Skeptics Congress. So bye-bye, everybody. Take care.
This has been your ESP Experience. The show is produced and recorded by the ESP.eu. Join us again next time, but until then, please send your feedback, comments, or death threats to info@theesp.eu. We would also love to hear your ideas and suggestions regarding future episodes, as well as news from your country of residence that might interest others across the continent. If you have a local event or organization to promote, please don't hesitate to let us know, as we are more than happy to help. All music in the program was written and performed by Keisha J. Gray and George Schwab and is used with their permission. Please check out our webpage at www.theesp.eu, follow us on Twitter at @espodcast_eu, and like us on Facebook.
I don't know how you can believe.
And there we go. So ba 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 ba.